I've asked Claire to read the passage for us this evening. It's from the book of Acts. So please grab a Bible. You'll need to look at the passage and then keep it open afterwards, if you wouldn't mind. It's Acts chapter 2. And Claire's going to start reading at verse 42. So that's Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Thanks, Claire.
The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you. Keep your Bibles open, if you wouldn't mind. I want to start with a big number, and the big number is 3,000. That is a big old number. And in a masterful piece of understatement, Luke tells us in verse 41, so just before where we started, that that was the number of people added to the church in one day. 3,000, that's a lot of tea and coffee. Imagine that. People of all shapes and sizes, from everywhere and anywhere, talking different languages, using different dialects, all of them suddenly fastening onto the gospel. 3,000 people. And if you just have a surface look at verses 42 to 47 that Claire just read out, you might be forgiven for thinking that the church rode the crest of that wave and that everything was plain sailing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The way it's put, superficially, it sounds quite relaxed and stress-free. And these are the marks of a spirit-filled church. Teaching, so making sure they knew what they believed. Fellowship, which is really looking out for each other and welcoming the newcomer. Breaking of bread, well, that's possibly another word for worship in reality. And prayer, well, that's the petrol in the tank of any church. So teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread or worship, and prayer. But if you dig a little deeper, because the risk we run, if we read the passage in that way, we run the risk of missing the emphasis in the word devoted. And it's an important word, and it's really one I want to fix on this evening, because it means that they spent most of their time and energy on these things. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Most of their time, most of their energy. Now, it can't have been all day, every day. I recognize that. Because they still would have had to work and provide for their families and pay their taxes and so on. But it's a word which makes it clear that even if they loved the Lord and were invigorated by the sheer numbers of new people, there was also an element of struggle to it. Devoted signifies a bit of struggle. Let me illustrate my point. 2012 seems like a lifetime ago now, but we went to the Olympics. Many of us did, didn't we? We went to the Olympics and the Paralympics, just up the road. And what we saw will, certainly for us, will live long in the memory. And I'm sure for you too, if you had tickets. So for example, Paralympic swimming, Ellie Simmons churning down her swimming lane to victory, and the wheelchair athletes in the stadium turning on the last bend being roared on by a capacity crowd. Every seat was taken and the atmosphere was electric. Olympics, Paralympics, every seat taken. But if someone is devoted to a sport, say athletics or swimming, or devoted to music, you will have, I think, in your mind's eye, the picture of the 5 a.m. start for the swimmer on a cold February morning before school or before work and doing 100 lengths before anybody else is even up, because that's what you do if you're devoted. Nobody cheering. Or if you're an athlete hacking around the track on your own, long after everyone else has packed up and gone home, all in the interests of shaving maybe a tenth of a second off your time, nobody watching. Or you're a pianist practicing your scales and arpeggios for hour after hour, because that's what you do if you're a devoted musician. Nobody listening. And lastly, if I'm allowed a rugby illustration, and I see that I am, Mike, it was famously said of Johnny Wilkinson that he practiced penalty kick after penalty kick after penalty kick. When? Christmas Day. He must have really hated his family. Now, there's your definition of devoted. Christmas Day, right there, but no crowd. So there's an element of struggle in the Christian's devotion here. And if we are to read what they did as bringing in 3,000 new believers, there's going to be a huge chunk of devotion needed to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. What are you going to get in that mix? Well, you're going to get big encouragements. The woman from Tarsus on your left-hand side who understands the gospel for the first time. A visceral sense of togetherness when you're breaking bread with freshly minted brothers and sisters from other countries or other regions of your own country. But what else are you going to get? What's the other side of that same coin? Where is the man from Cappadocia who was here 2 weeks ago and last week, but isn't here this week? I'm hearing that he's chucked it all in. And why are those two men over there disagreeing so violently? Isn't the breaking of bread supposed to mean togetherness and unity? And am I the only one who's praying for the new believers from Greece? So it can't have been easy. There must have been setbacks. But note this, in a church where they were devoted to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, verse 43, they were filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. The Lord's grace was poured out on them. They were devoted to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer, and the Lord's grace was poured out on them. Don't please misunderstand me. This isn't intended to be a talk aimed at please do more at church. But it does seem to me that as the COVID restrictions perhaps tighten again and perhaps tighten further in coming weeks, and we face another few months of uncertainty, the path ahead of us is lit just enough for us to see our way forward by the word devoted. And devoted to the four things that will build us up, whatever else is happening. Teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. I repeat, those are the marks of a spirit-filled church. But we don't do these things because they're a hobby, or an interest, or a way of passing the time. You know, 1 John 4, verse 19. It's very short, but it's very powerful. We love him because he first loved us. So our devotion to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer is a natural reaction to what? To the Lord's devotion to us in the first place. You remember these words from Romans chapter 8, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from what? From the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And when the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord settles in our hearts, then we see the consequences. Have a look at verse 44. "All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to the number daily of those who are being saved." So when the Lord's love for us settles in our hearts, and we see the spark of it when we become Christians, but I do recognize that for the Lord's love to settle in our hearts and take up home in our hearts is a process. But when it settles in our hearts, it will change us and it will transform the way we do church. Devotion will follow. Devotion to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. But I also recognize that what we see in these verses at the moment can seem a million miles from our own experience. Because coronavirus is putting obstacle after obstacle after obstacle in our way. So when we read, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved," it doesn't chime with our experience. It doesn't seem possible. At the moment, we're physically apart. And let's face it, I speak for myself, downhearted, feeling a bit beaten up by the whole thing. To a greater or lesser extent, every single one of us has corona fatigue. Yes? So to a greater or lesser extent, what we need is a revival for our flagging spirits. How do you start a revival? Somebody once asked the British evangelist, Gypsy Smith. This was 100 years ago or so, perhaps a bit more. And he said this: "If you want a revival, go home and get a piece of chalk. Go into your closet, I think he meant your bedroom, and draw a circle on the floor." This was before the days of carpets, plainly. "Go into your closet and draw a circle on the floor. Kneel down in the middle of the circle and ask God to start a revival inside the chalk mark. Kneel down in the middle of the circle and ask God to start a revival inside the chalk mark." Now, I would love it if our numbers grew with more people being saved. I would love it. But I know that it starts with me getting into my chalk circle in my closet and you getting into yours. And then, getting off our knees and remembering that we love him because he first loved us, putting verse 42 into practice. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer."